Dr. Joe Swartz is director of McGill University's Office for Science and Society, author of 14 best-selling books, lecturer, radio host, frequent TV guest, and chemist. Welcome to Richmond, Dr. Swartz.
Thanks very much.
Back in the day, the public perception of science was it would eventually solve most of our problems. Today is almost the reverse. What happened in the interim?
Very interesting question. I mean, I remember very well 1964 going to New York World's Fair and going to the DuPont Pavilion, and they still had, you know, logo, Better Living Through Chemistry, and nobody objected to that. You know, nobody thought that chemicals were toxic or poisonous or dangerous. What has happened? In a sense, the internet has happened with a tremendous amount of misinformation out there, with all kinds of bloggers who think that they are expert on everything on which they are not expert, dispensing information that they think is useful for the public, but generally it comes from a misunderstanding of the scientific literature and a misinterpretation. So I think that there's a lot of public fear out there. The word chemical has become synonymous with poison or toxin. A lot of that is because of human nature. We like to find explanations for everything. When something goes wrong, you want to find what happened. And chemicals very often are scapegoats because we know a lot about them. There's a lot of talk about them. Chemicals, of course, are not good or bad. They're not safe or dangerous. There are safe or dangerous ways to use chemicals. And unfortunately, there have been cases where they have not been properly used, and those have been much publicized and have left a stigma.
Is there a reason, though, for this generation and the next generation to really be more afraid of technology? I mean, we're talking the atom bomb, air and water pollution, internet spying, rogue nations with nuclear bombs. We have the power to self-destruct. Is there a reason to be afraid of science at this point?
Well, I don't think there's a reason to be afraid of science, because science itself makes no decisions and it has no morality. People make decisions. So, of course, it is possible to use science for the benefit of mankind and science to the detriment of mankind. But science in itself is not a thinking entity. So it's a tool for us to use. So what we have to do is make sure that people are properly guided in how to use science. And what it comes down to is education.
I want to get back to that in a minute. But let me ask you about a couple of statements that you have made over time. There are no safe substances.
There are no safe substances. There are only safe or dangerous ways to use substances.
Only amounts matter.
Yes. This is the cornerstone of toxicology. Only the dose makes the poison. It doesn't make any sense to talk about the substance being safe or dangerous without putting into context how much. Is it inhaled? Is it ingested? Does it get absorbed through the skin? Those are the kind of things we have to consider.
Science rarely gives us final answers.
Science is sort of like a race towards the finish line, with the finish line always somewhat ahead of you. But we're getting closer and closer to it. So yes, it is rare that we have absolutely conclusive answers, but we can certainly make far better educated guesses now than we have ever been able to do in the past.
Again, one of your comments, natural does not equate to safe, synthetic does not mean dangerous.
I would say that in my many, many years of being in this business, that probably is the single biggest myth that I have to fight. People believe that if something is natural, it's desirable and safe. Nature is not benign. Nature is very dangerous. Bacteria, viruses, fungi are all naturally occurring. Poison ivy, of course, is natural. Botulin is deadly. Ricin is the most toxic substance known to mankind, and it can be extracted from the castor bean plant. So no, nature is not safe, and synthetics are not inherently dangerous. Whether or not a chemical was made in a bush by Mother Nature or by a chemist in a lab is irrelevant. What matters is what that chemical is, what we know about it, how we have studied it, essentially based on its molecular structure.
Chemistry may have a bad rap at this point. When I read about or hear about chemistry, it's nerve gas or additives in foods that are
right.
Dangerous. Obviously, you think this isn't right, isn't fair, isn't accurate.
It isn't, and we get back to the point that chemicals are not good or bad. It depends on how we use them. In many cases, they can be represented by a double-edged sword. You look at morphine extracted from the opium poppy. If someone is suffering the pain of cancer, morphine is a wonder product. For someone who's mainlining it in the street and gets addicted to it, it's a chemical from hell. Humans make these decisions.
And that could be scary. We started out talking about the internet and misconceptions people have. What does this generation and the next need to know about chemicals and science in general so that we can, as Spock said, live long and prosper with science?
Well, I would not say that education is totally a vaccine against ignorance or stupidity, but it goes a long way. And I think that we need to have better education at the elementary school level. We need to teach children from early on how the world of science works, how what we know, what is publication all about, what is peer-reviewed literature, what are granting agencies, what kind of agendas do scientists have. We need to instill in people critical thinking and a knowledge of just how we gain scientific information, what is reliable and what is not reliable.
We've been talking with Dr. Joe Swartz, director of McGill University's Office for Science and Society, and author of a book, Monkeys, Myths, and Molecules. For Science Matters, I'm Charles Fishburne, WCVE News.